And while you're at Mark chapter 1, you can also turn to Leviticus chapter 13. We'll be kind of looking at that too. So Mark chapter 1, Leviticus chapter 13. While you're going there, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Dear Father, we want to thank you, Lord. We want to thank you for your love towards us. Lord, you, out of love, provided yourself a lamb, Lord, to save us from our sins. You took upon yourself what we deserve. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that you gave your life so that we could be saved.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we're here today to worship you. We come, Lord, because we love you. We love you because you first loved us.
Amen.
And we just ask that you would help us grow, and we want to be in communion and fellowship with you. If there is something in our life that's hindering us from doing this fully, Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to it. Help us, Lord, give us a heart that is of flesh, not a heart of stone. Help us break away anything Amen. That is in our way. And Lord, I do ask that if anybody is not saved in the sound of my voice, anybody who's listening online, anybody that hears this message, if they're not saved, Lord, that they would recognize their sin, that they would recognize what they need, and that they would repent, Lord, that they would look to you and trust in you alone, that they would be saved from their sins, Lord. I ask that you would change and transform lives through the word that you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So in Mark chapter 1, we have the story of a leper who is cleansed. And I want to talk about that today. But first, I'm going to read from Leviticus chapter 13, because I want us to get a little bit of a vision of what it was to be a leper. Today, we have leprosy still, but it is now, with modern medicine, something that is curable. You do have a cure for it now. In these days, they did not have any cure for leprosy. It was something that was really, really horrible disease, and it was able to get contagious on other people, and so it was a real problem, and it was a real bad thing to be a leper. And the Leviticus chapter 13 is where the priest goes and he has to detect whether somebody had leper or not. And all he was is to declare whether they were unclean or clean. He couldn't give any cleansing. In other words, he wasn't a doctor that could actually give you something to cleanse you. He could only give you a diagnosis and say, yes, you've got it, or no, you don't. There was no cure for leprosy. And so it was really bad. Look at Leviticus chapter 13. I'll just read we'll do 45 and 46. It says, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be." So imagine this. This is a radical solution, type of solution, or what they would have to do with a leper. They would have to obviously be recognized as unclean, and they would have to go around, right? If there's a multitude, they'd have to shout, "Unclean! I'm unclean!" Because they didn't want to get other people infected. And so they would have to shout, "Unclean! Unclean!" This was humiliation, to say the least. So there's a few things to leprosy that you could say made the life of a leper very hard. First of that was physical suffering. There was real physical suffering for being a leper. Leprosy would start with like red spots, right? And then it would become white, scaly, scabby spots that were shiny all on your body. I mean, white, you would be filled with white spots that were shiny on your body. You would have then loss there was loss of pain due to nerve damage. So people would lose pain. And when you lose pain in your, in different places, you could be, doing different activities and hurting yourself, harming yourself, and you wouldn't know, and you end up losing things. You end up losing limbs. You end up losing fingers. Or there's an infection in some part of your body and you just don't know it because there's no pain. And so people would not have any limbs. I mean, there was a lot of loss of pain. There was loss of your teeth. It would start having problems in your teeth. You would lose your teeth. You would lose your fingernails. They would just come off. Your flesh was actually rotting. This is what it's like. The flesh was rotting. And to get worse, even your hair fell out. You'd become bald. That's really, I hear that's really bad. Oh, okay. So that's not the worst part. Okay. But it did happen. No, they would lose their hair, even the hair on your eyebrows. I mean, you would just lose it. You'd lose all your hair, lose your fingernails, and all this. I mean, it was a bad. So you would see a person that was full of leprosy, and I mean, it didn't look nice, right? I mean, it was a really horrible disease that you could see physically, and it was really bad. But not only is he socially are physically suffering. In fact, they called him the walking dead because there was no cure and your flesh was rotting. And you can read that in the story of Miriam whenever she gets leprosy. But they were like the walking dead because there was no cure for it. There was also then associated with that social rejection. And like we saw here, you're gonna be the one that's saying, I'm unclean, so nobody else can come around you. Guess what? Your family can't be around you, they can't touch you, there's no more contact. You don't come in contact with anybody else anymore. There's no contact. Isn't that hard to imagine? Living without any contact with anybody? So there's social rejection, you are not allowed to live in the bounds of the other citizens, right? And so they are, what he says, you are without the camp. He says he's gonna dwell alone. He's gonna dwell separate, away from the city. And we see this in the stories of biblical times. This is what happens. The lepers were outside the city walls. The lepers were out there, outcasts. And not only was it social rejection, but you could say it was spiritual exclusion, because not only were they outcasts of the city, they couldn't go in the city, they weren't part of like society inside, but also they weren't allowed to come into the temple. So they were excluded even from the temple. They couldn't go in the temple and worship God in that unique sense that the Jews had. They were excluded from that. So the life of a leper was very hard. And that's how we see leprosy in the Bible and in those days. Now I think leprosy does serve as a powerful symbol of sin throughout the Bible. Leprosy, you can see, just thinking about what we just mentioned, there's a real symbol there with sin, right? I mean, you're isolated, it defiles you, and it corrupts you. And you're separated, right? And you're separated from God. And this applies to sin the same way. You are separated from God by your sin. Just like whenever you had leprosy, you would be separated from other people. You'd be separated. Also that it spreads and destroys. This thing was contagious and it would spread and it would destroy. It was harmful. And this is the same with sin. Sin, and this is something we need to recognize, we need to know that sin separates us, but sin also spreads and destroys. Sin is destructive. Amen. Sin is not something that's going to construct. It's not something that's going to build something good. Sin is only destructive.
Amen.
And it's very interesting that the emphasis the Bible has on leprosy isn't terming it in the sense of a sickness, right? It doesn't say they were healed from their leprosy. It always terms it as clean or unclean, as we read here. It says he's going to cry, unclean, unclean, I'm unclean. Just like sin. Sin makes you unclean.
Amen.
And whenever we see of somebody being healed of leprosy in the Bible, it's always mentioned as they're cleansed, not as they were healed. And that's really interesting. When you read the Gospels and everything, it talks about leprosy as something that makes you unclean and something you're cleansed from. Really neat. And I think there's a purpose to that. I think God wants us to recognize how serious sin is. And He used leprosy for us to consider it. He used leprosy for us to consider how serious sin is. For example, just think about it, right? Whenever we had COVID, we would, even right now, after COVID, somebody coughs and you're like, oh, stay away from me, you know? 6 feet, please, 6 feet. And they're just coughing. Now imagine if you see somebody that's full of leprosy, would you be a little concerned about getting too close to them? Wouldn't you be a little standoffish, you know, stay away, stay farther away, that's fine. Well, maybe that's what God wants us to think about sin. Maybe God really wants us to really understand, hey, sin is a serious thing. Sin is something that you want to, when you see it, it would be better for you to say, hey, stay away from me. I don't want to get too close. And you and I should consider sin in those terms instead of playing with sin and see how close we can get, which many times we do. All of us do. We play too much with sin. We think, oh man, we can get this close. Well, where's the line, right? We want to know, where's the line? I want to get right up to it. Maybe God wants us to consider sin more like leprosy, where, hey, this is something contagious. I want to stay away. I want to get that as far away from me as possible. And so sometimes I think that God was using leprosy because He wanted us to recognize how serious sin is. For example, leprosy was often used as a punishment for sin. Very, very distinctly. And it was, so I think that associates it with sin. Maybe even indicating to us how serious it is. For example, Miriam was struck with leprosy as a punishment for speaking against Moses. Remember that? Moses was there and Miriam and Aaron start speaking against Moses and God gets angry and God strikes her with leprosy because of her sin. And that's where Aaron, we can read that. I'll read that to you. That's Numbers 12. Numbers 12, I'll read that real quick. I'll read verse 12 so you can see. Verse 11, see how shocked this, how shocking this is and how bad this is. Which is, again, I think God is showing you, hey, this sin that you just committed, now you're getting leprosy. And what He wants you to realize, what He wants us to all understand is, hey, your sin is really serious. We take leprosy serious, but we don't take sin serious. And I think God is wanting to get our minds to click that sin is really serious. Verse 11 says, "And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech ye, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb." And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee." So he recognized, right? They sinned, and God struck her with leprosy. And this happens multiple times. Uzziah was also struck with leprosy whenever he defiled, whenever he was in the temple, and he was burning incense when he was not supposed to be the one burning incense, and the priest told him not to do it, and he did it anyway. And God struck him with leprosy. And he was a leper until the day he died. I think God is trying to tell us, hey, sin is serious. And whenever He strikes people with leprosy because of their sin, I think that's a way for Him to communicate that with us. There's another story, which is Gehazi. You know that. Elisha's servant. This is 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 27. This man... this man is also struck with leprosy because he lied to Naaman because he wanted to obtain money, right? And he says this, in verse 27, the leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Again, I think this really shows us the seriousness of sin. And God is showing us the seriousness of sin by giving these men leprosy. And he wants us to consider that sin is very serious to him. I mean, can you believe, and I've mentioned this a few times in the last few weeks, is that one moment in your life can decide a future, even your future generations.
Amen.
One moment in your life, one decision you make can affect the rest of your life.
Right.
In this moment, this man, Gehazi, he lied to take money. He wanted money. He was greedy. And he says, the leprosy of Naaman is going to be unto thee, and it's going to be unto thy seed forever. His future generations were going to be under this curse where they were going to have leprosy in that family forever because of one decision he made. I'm telling you, your decisions, your actions are very important. You better think about what you're doing.
Amen.
And so God, I think, wants to catch our attention by some of these stories, giving out leprosy as a judgment so that we can recognize, hey, sin is really serious.
Amen.
And I think that also translates to, remember, one sin brought judgment to all humanity.
Amen.
In Adam, just like Gehazi, sin brought leprosy to all of his descendants. Sin is a serious thing. Sin is a serious thing, and it separates you, it defiles you, it corrupts you.
Amen.
And it's destructive.
Amen.
And it is something to be taken seriously. And leprosy in the Bible, when we read about it, should give us that understanding. We should recognize that. I think God is trying to catch our attention with that, on how serious sin is.
Amen.
Because it's interesting how we can take something like leprosy very serious, and yet sin isn't all that big of a deal to us. And so I think God tries to say, hey, listen, you're not understanding, you're not seeing things correctly. Sin is worse than leprosy.
Amen.
And we don't see it.
Amen.
And God wants to show us that. Also, another thing about leprosy, which I think would be common and well known, is that a leper wasn't able to be cured by any human means. There was no cure for leprosy. And so when there was a leper that was cured, it was obviously divine intervention. Yes, it was something miraculous. God was doing something if somebody was healed from leprosy. And we see that right with Moses' hand. Remember he's going to be going into Egypt, and Moses is like, well, how am I going to know? You know, show me some signs. I mean, I want to see something miraculous. Well, he says, oh, put your hand in, up to your bosom, and take it out, and it was white as snow. It was leprous. And then he puts it back in, and he's healed. That was a miracle.
Amen.
That was something that no man could just fabricate. That was something that God had to do. And it was divine. Well, the same thing happened with Miriam. Miriam was a leprous, and Moses prayed for her, and God healed her.
Amen.
And then we have the occasion of Naaman, who was a Syrian, and he was also healed miraculously when he went and bathed in the Jordan River seven times, as was commanded by Elijah. But those are the only three instances where you can say that lepers were healed or cleansed that we know of in the Old Testament. In all of the Old Testament, those are the only three places we know of that somebody was cleansed of leprosy. In other words, being cleansed of leprosy did not happen quite often. This was a strange occurrence, and when it did, you would know this was from God. God did a miracle. God acted, right? This is a divine act of God. And so we go to Mark chapter 1 with those things in mind. You go to Mark chapter 1 and here we have a man who is a leper. And I believe that this man, we're going to start in Mark chapter 1 verse 40, but I believe this is probably the first leper that was cleansed by Jesus. There's a few reasons to believe that. Well, he's the first one that's mentioned. In fact, there's only two stories of lepers actually getting cleansed in the Gospels where we actually know what happened. That's this man and the 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17. Those are the only two that we have this story explained to us what happened. And the Bible does say he healed or cleansed other lepers, but we don't have any others that are actually told to us how it happened. So that's interesting. But this one I think is the first, it's very early on in the ministry. It's in all three synoptic gospels and they're all very early on in the ministry. And it seems like this hasn't happened before. And also Luke's account says that he was full of leprosy. In other words, I think this was at an advanced stage, right? This man was clearly just a man that was rotting flesh. He was rotting flesh as Aaron talked about. Now, we're going to read verse 40. It says, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Thou canst make me clean. Now, this man, first of all, what I want to mention is that he was determined to get to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Now, this man, remember the restrictions. I mean, he's not supposed to be walking around in public. I mean, he's not supposed to be going around, right, like that. This man is supposed to be separating himself. And he's probably supposed to be screaming, "Hey, I'm unclean," just so that everybody knows, "I'm unclean." Now, I would have loved to see an aerial shot of this scene, right? Because I just imagine that as he's walking through the crowd, everybody's just standing away from him, you know, and just, he's walking and everybody's separated, you know, that's how I imagine it. Everybody's just, you know, 10 feet away from him. So anywhere he goes, it's just like a big circle. And he just walks right past everybody because everybody's moving and he walks right up to Jesus. And this man is determined to get to Jesus no matter what the obstacles were. I mean, he was a leper. And so you could imagine the people that were slandering him or probably undermining him, right? "Who are you? Get away from us. Get away. You're not supposed to be here. We don't want you around." I mean, if they did that to the blind men, remember the blind men started screaming, right? He was calling out to Jesus and they were hushing him, "You be quiet." How much more with this leprous man would people have been hindering him from coming to Jesus? And yet, he was determined to go to Jesus. He knew the state he was in. He knew how horrible it was. He knew how much he needed to be cleansed. He knew it. And nothing was going to stop him from getting to Jesus. He was coming to Jesus.
Amen.
Now, I truly think that there's a lot of people that are recognizing their state before God, but for some reason they're still letting things hinder them from coming to Jesus. Something stopping you from coming to Jesus. And I don't know what that is. Sometimes it's a family member. Sometimes it's, what are they going to think about me? What are they going to say? How are they going to act? Oh, my dad's going to feel this way. My mom's going to feel that way. My brother is not going to like me anymore. My wife might be hindering you. Your husband might be hindering you. I don't know what it is, but somebody or something is hindering you from coming to Jesus, and you need to be determined to come to Jesus. Whatever it is, you need to, who cares what people think? You need to recognize your need and you need to be determined to get to Jesus. And I think that's what this man shows. He came to Jesus. He, being a leper, came to Jesus. Again, this is not what lepers were supposed to do. They were not supposed to approach somebody in this way, in this manner. But he came to Jesus anyway. He came to him, this is verse 40, beseeching him and kneeling down to him. The other thing I see here is that he was humble in the presence of Jesus. So he comes before Jesus and he's humble in the presence of Jesus. And you know, that's what we need. We need some humility in the presence of Jesus. We need to be humble. Jesus says, hey, there's a difference. There's a difference between somebody who's full of pride. Just read Luke chapter 18 when one man is praying and he's saying, oh, I'm so glad that I'm not like these other people. He's praying, but he's full of pride. And the other one, a sinner, a publican, he just comes and says, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. He can't even look up to heaven because he recognizes his sin and he comes humbly. And Jesus says, oh, he went away justified rather than the other. Why? Because he humbled himself before God. He humbled himself before Jesus. And that might be something that's keeping people from coming to Jesus, from believing in Jesus, is because we don't want to humble ourselves before him.
Amen.
We're full of pride.
Amen.
Well, this man, he knew who he was, he knew his state, he knew where he fell, and he knew who Jesus was. And so he humbled himself before Jesus, beseeching him, he kneeled down, saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, look at there, he has complete faith in Jesus' ability. Isn't that amazing? He knew Jesus could heal him. Which I think is amazing because, like I said, I think this is the first leper that was cleansed by Jesus. So I think the leper knew, hey, he can do things. We know he can give sight to the blind. We know he can heal people. Hey, I think he can even heal me. I'm a leper, yes, but I think he can heal me. And he had complete faith in the ability that Jesus could heal him. And you know, the truth is that when you're in your sin and you recognize your sin, you need to understand this fact, that Jesus is the only one that can cleanse you.
Amen.
There is no other that can cleanse you from your sin except Jesus Christ. It's amazing how people are trying to be cleansed. People are trying to get to heaven. People are trying by their own good works. But listen, your good works are as filthy rags in front of God.
Amen.
Because you're full of sin. You're like this man who's a leper, full of sin. You have nothing to offer.
Amen.
You have to put complete confidence in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because that's the only one that can cleanse you from your sin. There's nobody else that has the ability to cleanse you. That means not even the priest. Not the mother of Jesus, Mary, she has no cleansing power. That means not the preacher, not a church, not yourself. Nobody has the ability except Jesus Christ. And this man, he had faith in Jesus' ability. He didn't come saying, oh, can you make me clean? Is it possible? He said, oh, I know you can make me clean. If you will. If you will. And so the other thing we see, I believe, here is that he had a complete surrender to Jesus' will. He was completely surrendered to Jesus' will. That's all he could do. He says, I come and I put myself in your hands. If you will, you can make me whole. You can cleanse me. You know, that's all you can do. Did you know that? There's nothing, you cannot do anything else for your salvation. There's nothing you can do. In fact, the more you try to do for yourself, the less ground you're gaining. There's nothing you can do for yourself. But if you will just give yourself to Jesus, if you will thrust yourself into His hands, He can save you.
Thank you, Lord.
And as this man said, if you will, you know, the great thing is that we know the will of Jesus. The truth is, it all comes down to His grace. If you throw yourself into His arms, it's only His will that's going to allow you to be saved or not. But we know what His will is. He says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not willing that any should perish. He is willing that all be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. That's what he wills. That's what he desires. He wants you to be saved. And so look at what Jesus did. It says in verse 41, and Jesus moved with compassion. Jesus saw this man and he was moved with compassion. And boy, that's an amazing thing that Jesus is moved with compassion.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, it doesn't say that Jesus was disgusted. Now, again, these lepers, I can just picture it there. Everybody looking, right? All the disciples are probably behind Jesus, you know, thinking, what are we doing? Why, Lord Jesus, why are you getting so close? Because this is a leper, this is a full of leprosy man coming up to them, you know, kneeling at the feet of Jesus. I'm sure everybody's thinking, what's going on? But Jesus wasn't full of disgust. Now, I do think your sin disgusts God.
Amen.
I think it's very clear in the Bible that our sin is disgusting to God. I mean, it's just something that he does not like. He hates it.
Amen.
And yet, when he came to him, when this man came humble, when this man came with faith, Jesus doesn't say, oh, you disgust me, get away from me. No. He was moved with compassion. And I hope you realize that. I hope you realize that anytime you hear preaching about sin, anytime you hear about the Word of God pointing out sin, it's not because we just want you to feel like you're disgusting. Though you might be just as much as I am, because our sin is disgusting. But the truth is that we're called to recognize our sin and repent of our sin because Jesus, when we come to Him humbly, will have compassion on us. He'll have compassion on us. And that's why you're called to look at your life and look at your sin and repent of your sin. Because Jesus loves you and wants to save you from your sin. He wants to save you from that horrible condition that you're in. That there's no cure for, that there's nothing you can do about it. That now all hope you have lies in God's intervention. And it's there in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do you see what Jesus did there? He was moved with compassion and he put forth his hand and touched him. This is a leper. This is a leper. In fact, you can probably say that Jesus was doing something unceremonial, cleanliness. You know, he's touching a leper. This would have made him unceremonial clean. He would have not been clean anymore because he touched a leper. This is not something you do. But Jesus touched the leper.
Amen.
This is amazing. This truly is mind-blowing. I think that's why it's mentioned in every one of the Gospels. I think that's why it's the first one that happened. I think the disciples were all just astounded. Oh, Jesus, you're actually touching a leper. And you know what happened? This man was made clean. When Jesus touched the leper, the leprosy didn't affect Jesus. He didn't get infected by leprosy. No, it was the other way around. He touched the leper and the leper became clean.
Amen.
Do you realize that this is a symbol of what happens to you in salvation? You come to Jesus and you're full of sin. You're full of really horrible sin that affects your life and it separates you from God. And it's bad, and it's disgusting, and it's shameful, and it's harmful, and it's horrible. And Jesus, He takes your sin.
Thank you, Lord.
And He doesn't get infected by it. No, He's still clean. He's still perfect. He's still righteous. But what happened is when He touched you, He cleansed you from your sin.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow. he put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Oh man, he just declared it. He said, yes, I will, be thou clean. And guess what? That's what happens to you in your sin. If you come to Jesus, he says, you're clean. And just by him saying the word, you're clean, you become clean. You're justified.
Amen.
Oh, I know you, you're the sinner. Oh, I know your life, you're full of sin.
Amen.
No, but Jesus already touched me and he said,
Amen.
You're clean.
Amen.
And guess what? I'm justified before God.
Amen.
His righteousness is applied to me. I had an encounter with Jesus, and no, Jesus didn't get defiled. I became clean.
Thank you, Lord.
This is what happens when a sinner comes to Jesus. This is what we see in this man who was full of leprosy. Whenever he came to Jesus, Jesus cleansed him. And that story's there so that you can know something. Jesus can cleanse a leper, and Jesus can save a sinner.
Amen.
A sinner, even if he's full of sin.
Thank you, Lord.
Shameful sin. You think your sin is too much? This is the point of the story. It's that, no, not only can he heal blind men, not only can he heal the lame so that they can walk again. No, he can actually reach out and touch a leper who is full, who's a dead man walking. He can touch this man who everybody else is scared of, who they have to run outside of the city because he has to be alone. Jesus can touch that man and heal him.
Praise the Lord.
Guess what? He can cleanse you too.
Amen.
But he does want you to repent. You do have to still come like this man in humility. You have to recognize Jesus as Lord. You have to come to Jesus and you have to have faith in what he can do, not in your own works. This man was not having any faith in himself. His complete faith was in Jesus Christ. And that's how you get saved today. That's how this story is just an illustration of what we see through the whole New Testament about you getting cleansing for your soul, cleansing of your spirit, being saved. This is an illustration of that. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Immediately it happened.
Amen.
Boom. He's clean.
Amen.
Wow. No more grotesque. Nothing like that. And you know, Naaman, it says whenever he came up after dipping seven times in the river, it says he come up and his skin was like a baby, right? A baby's skin. Just completely new. This man was healed, was cleansed immediately. An amazing thing. And that's, again, we go to salvation. That's what happens to you when you believe on Jesus Christ. You can be cleansed from your sin. Forgiveness of sins. This is what Jesus has. Jesus has the power to forgive sins.
Amen.
That's what he came to do. That was his purpose.
Amen.
He came having compassion on sinners, willing to give his life in order to save you. And today, if you find yourself full of sin, all he's expecting of you is to recognize your state. Recognize how bad your state of living in sin is. And if you desire to be free from that, come to Jesus. Humble yourself and believe in him and he will save you. He will save you from your sin. It's a beautiful picture, a beautiful symbol of what Jesus does for you spiritually.
Amen.
Now look at what happens next in verse 43. Verse 43, it says, and he straightly charged him, right? So Jesus gave him a stern command. He straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away and said unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way. show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Jesus commanded him, don't tell anybody anything. Go straight to the priest, go straight to Jerusalem, right? You're gonna have a quite a walk, but go straight to Jerusalem, show yourself to the priest, and give them testimony. Verse 45 says, but he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. So this man did not obey Jesus' command. This man was commanded by Jesus, don't tell anybody about this. Go show yourself to the priests. And he disobeyed. He went out and he told everybody. He published it to everybody. So much so that it looks like it hindered Jesus' ministry. Jesus wasn't able to go into the city anymore. It was so packed. And this is another reason why I think this was one of the first or the first leper that got cleansed. Because once this happened and word got out, everybody came. I mean, there was so much crowd that he couldn't even enter the city. He had to stay out in the wilderness. But he disobeyed Jesus' command. And, you know, I think that's a mistake. I think Christians should obey Jesus' command. Now, this man might have not understood why. Why are you commanding me this? I can't say, keep quiet. I want to tell it to everybody. He might have not understood Jesus' command, but he should have obeyed Jesus' command. Nonetheless. Yet, even in his disobedience, I think there's a rebuke to us. I think we could all agree on that. He was commanded not to tell anyone, and he told everyone. And we're commanded to tell everyone. And many times we don't tell anyone.
Amen.
Which is sad. But let's go to Leviticus chapter 14. Because Leviticus chapter 13 tells us about the priest finding whether a man is a leper or not. And then Leviticus chapter 14 tells us what to do when a man actually is cleansed of leprosy. And Jesus told him, right, he said in verse 44 of Mark, he said, go thy way, don't tell anybody, go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded. What did he say? He said, for a testimony unto them. Jesus wanted this man to be a testimony to the priests in Jerusalem. Jesus might have been thinking, hey, listen, nobody around here needs any more knowledge of me. I'm giving pretty good, clear testimony of everybody around here that needs to know me. But you know what? Those men in Jerusalem, those priests in Jerusalem, they need to know. They need a testimony. And I want you to go give them testimony. Now, from what we know, this man didn't do it. And I think every instance, because even in Luke 17, whenever they got cleansed, these were Jesus' same thing. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. The lepers that got cleansed, Jesus wanted them, and probably in my speculation, every leper that got cleansed, this was Jesus' command, that they go show themselves to the priest because he wanted it to be a testimony to them.
Yeah.
Well, how could this be a testimony to them? Well, remember, leprosy was not curable. There was no cure. It was very rarely ever even known to be cured. And if they started coming by the droves, hey, I'm cured, I'm cured, I'm cured. These priests are going to be like, what's going on? God must be moving. If all these lepers are being cleansed, God must be doing something. And they could not deny it. Maybe he just wanted a stronger testimony for the priests to be able to know that it was God doing this. But also very interesting, we're going to look at the ceremonial things they did. So this is Leviticus chapter 14, and just to point this out, if this man was cleansed from his leprosy, he would go present himself to the priest, and imagine that. These priests have never seen a man cleansed of his leprosy. And now all of a sudden they've got this man coming, and they're like, oh, hey, Take the scroll out. We need Leviticus chapter 14. We have no idea where it is. We're going to look for that because we haven't used that. All of our years, we've never used that. And so they're going to blow off the dust of the scroll and they're going to look in Leviticus chapter 14 and it's going to say, this shall be the law, verse 2, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp. Remember, the leper can't go into the temple. So what does the priest do? The priest has to go outside the camp. Which, remember, is what Jesus did for us. Hebrews chapter 13. And the priest shall look and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them in the living bird's blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. So, I mean, again, they have some really right, crazy looking rituals, right, that they did. You take these birds, you get the blood, and then, you know, stand there, I'm gonna start sprinkling blood on you. You know, kind of strange, right? But do you just see what this is? This is them going outside the camp where Jesus was crucified, outside the camp, right? It's a living being, right, that belongs in the heavens, a bird, and he's killed in an earthen vessel. You've got wood and scarlet and hyssop and blood and water all in this ritual, which is all symbolic of Jesus, right, on the wooden cross, right? He had a scarlet robe on. He was poked and water and blood came out, and it's his blood that cleanses us. And he talks about it later on. That's not the end. He has to do some more things after he's proved, you know, 7 days he is. He comes back with the lamb for a sin offering, and the priest makes atonement for this man. All of this would have been an incredible testimony to those priests.
Amen.
And they are an incredible testimony to us. But Jesus specifically told the man, I want you to go be a testimony to those priests. And for some reason, he thought, no, I got a better idea. I'm just going to tell everybody I know. Hey, I don't know, you know, you got to say, I can't blame the man. It's great. I think we should have that enthusiasm. I think we should not lose our enthusiasm for what has happened to us. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and now we're made alive. How can we let that just dissipate into thin air? We need to let people know. Because people need to know that they can be saved from their sin also. But don't despise the commands of Jesus Christ, because he has a reason for giving them. And you may not always understand what the reasons for Jesus' commands are, but you should still follow them.
Amen.
Jesus commanded you to be baptized after you're a believer. And I don't think that's for no reason. And I think we see a lot of good reasons, but maybe we don't even see the whole picture. We might not even understand it all yet. Maybe one day in heaven we'll be like, whoa, that's what it was all about. But he commanded it, and we should do it.
Amen.
He commanded us to have the Lord's Supper and to remember him.
Amen.
And do this often.
Amen.
I think we should put importance on that.
Amen.
He commanded us to preach the gospel to every creature. That should be important to us.
Amen.
That's why we should want to send missionaries out to preach to the regions beyond, and we should be willing to sacrifice our time and our hard work and our hard-earned money so that we can support some missionaries so that they can preach the word.
Amen.
There's some commands we have of God, and we should pay attention to them because they are important, and we should do it. And boy, isn't it a joy that we who were in trespasses and sins are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's a glorious message we have to spread. So I would like to end today with number 227 in the Red Book. We'll go ahead and stand and sing 227. Then we'll be dismissed. And we'll have a meeting here tonight at 7 o'clock for those who want to participate. 227 in the Red Book. If you're not saved, you need to humble yourself before Jesus, and He can cleanse you from your sin. If you need to talk to one of us, we're available. Please don't hesitate.